Thank the Lord this morning for His blessings to us. The title of the message is The Land Before Us. So what do you see when you look ahead in your life with where you're at today and you look to the future? What do you see? What's the land before you? What's it look like? Sometimes people, especially young people, that things are going fairly well with them, they get to an age and they look to the future with anticipation. Life is ahead of them. Life is good. There's lots of excitement. There's new things on the horizon. And that can be an exciting time. And yet, sometime there can be trepidation because I don't know how everything's going to turn out. And I want to make the right decisions of the career path I follow. And if I'm going to get married. And if so, who? And where I'm going to live. And what is life? But that can be an exciting time. It can also, like I said, there can be some trepidation there. But when you look in your future, just from where you are today, physically, financially, emotionally, in your relationships that you have with people, and spiritually, how do things look? Just give you a little time to think about that. How are things looking as you look ahead? For some, it looks good. In some areas, you may say things financially look wonderful. That's great if you can say that. But then you may say, but physically things don't look so good. Or maybe you feel well physically and it's like, you know, I don't have any major health issues, but I'm really struggling financially. And the future looks very uncertain and I don't know. For some people, it looks really good. For other people, they look to the future and they see the walled cities and they see the giants. For some, looking to the future, it can be overwhelming. For where things are today and looking forward at circumstances, not knowing exactly how things are going to turn out, but it can be overwhelming to the point that sometimes people, when they wake up in the morning, they don't want to get up and they wish they could just pull the covers over their head and go back to sleep so they don't have to face life. I don't know if anybody here has ever been there. I dare say there's probably been a number of you at junctures in life that wish you could just figuratively pull the covers over your head and go back to sleep. Well, the Scripture still says, in spite of those things, the Scripture still says to be of good courage. So when we look to the future and it looks overwhelming, and we don't know how we can face it. We don't know how we can, the things that we know we're dealing with. Maybe you're overwhelmed today and you can't even think about tomorrow because it's like there's no way I can do it. There's no way I can make it tomorrow. And yet the Scripture says, be of good courage. I hope it's all right, but a couple weeks ago, I told someone here in the congregation, as they were walking out the back, I said, well, be encouraged. And there's one of those moments where it kind of feels like you're saying, be warmed and filled. You know what I'm saying? It be warmed and filled. Like, and it was kind of like one of those things, well, oh, you should have told me that a couple months ago. If that's all it took was someone say, be encouraged. And yet the Scripture says, be of good courage. And I've been wondering and asking, how can we do that? How can we do that? I know there's a number in the congregation, and I don't know all of your battles. I know there's a number of things that you all are facing in your life. And I wonder, what does the land look before you? What's it look like? And the Lord says, be of good courage. You know that term is in the Scripture 16 times. Be of good courage. I looked it up. 16 times it showed up. Over in the book of Numbers, if you will turn with me, we will read out of the 13th chapter of Numbers. We'll begin reading with the 18th verse. And this is where Moses had sent the spies out. Okay, so they chose 12 men to go out to Canaan land and spy out the land that was before them. He sent them to spy it out, and this is what he said. And I guess I haven't really taken as much note as I did as I was studying. Moses sent them out to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, "Get you up this way southward and go to the mountain and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak or few or many." So I want you to go and explore the land. I want you to see what's out there. And he gave some contrast. He said, whether the people are strong or weak, whether there's few of them or many of them, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that dwell in, whether they be in tents or strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood or not. In other words, go out and see what's there. But this is what he said, "And be ye of good courage." Okay, so if you go and you find a land of walled cities, and you find a land where there's nothing there, and it's barren, be of good courage. If the people are few, be of good courage. If the people are many, be of good courage. If there's a lot of timber in the land, be of good courage. If there's no timber there, be of good courage. So in your land, as you look out in your life this morning, if you are in good health, be of good courage. If your health is poor this morning, be of good courage. If you've got money in the bank and you have plans and things are going well, be of good courage. And if you are struggling financially this morning, be of good courage. If things in your relationships with people, if your marriage is the best it's ever been, be of good courage. But if you're struggling in your home and there are some tensions and things you're having to work through, or maybe you're not working through them, be of good courage. If the future is uncertain for you this morning and it just seems like that things are kind of rough, be of good courage. And now you say, "Okay, Brother Michael, you can sit down. You told us to be of good courage." Does that answer the problem, though? Does that help us all out? That was what Moses was telling them. Be of good courage. And yet, how are we supposed to do that? When we go into the land and there's no way. It's impossible for us to go into this land. So the definition of courage is strength to persevere, to withstand danger, fear, or difficulty. In other words, spiritually speaking, it is the strength to obey the Lord. It is the strength to endure even in fear, even in times of uncertainty or in times of suffering. Continuing to live for God, doing the right thing, staying faithful to God, even when circumstances are not optimal or good. And so you all know the story. We won't take the time to read it, but if you read on down in this passage, the spies came back from the land, and what did they testify that they had found? This land flows with what? Milk and honey. It looks good. Oh, we can be of good courage. It looks good ahead of us. But wait. They said the land looks good. It flows with milk and honey. But those cities are walled. There's giants in the land. And we're just like grasshoppers. We can't take it. We cannot possess that land. The circumstances are against us. Anyone here this morning feel like circumstances are against you? And yet Caleb and Joshua, they had seen the same land. They had seen the same walled cities. They had seen the same giants. And they said, "Let us go up at once and possess the land." Do you realize that the battle was the same? The circumstances were the same, but two of the 12 had courage. Because their faith was not in themselves. The answer to having courage this morning when the land before us looks overwhelming is it starts with having faith. Not in yourself, but having faith in the Almighty God. That my trust is not that I have the ability to make it through my problems, But my faith is that God is going to see me through. When I go through the river, I can't make it myself. And I just, when I see the river, I want to turn away and go another direction. But Lord, by your strength, by your help, I'll make it through. That is the element of faith that will enable us to continue to serve the Lord and have courage and not run away, even in the face of obstacles in our life. Because see, some of us here, and I would fall into that camp. I would say I'm a realist. People say, oh, just go take the land. It's like, wait, hold on a minute. Say, I'm not, it's not that I feel like I'm weak or something. Sometimes I am. But it's these spies, they would say, let's be real. Have you ever heard someone say that? Hey, let's be real. I mean, you get up and preach about courage, but Brother Michael, let's be real. Do you know what I'm going through? Let's be real. I'm not trying to be doubting, and I'm not saying that, but I'm saying I am a realist. I'm just looking at things factually. See, I like all my T's crossed and I's dotted. That's a blessing in my life, and it's also a curse, trust me. It goes both ways. But we can say I'm a realist. Let's deal with the facts. What are the facts of your life? What are the facts? Physically, financially, in your relationships, and spiritually. What are the facts of your life? How's it look? But see, Caleb and Joshua, it wasn't that they were hiding their head in the sand. You see, faith is not about being ignorant of realities. Faith is not about saying, well, just ignore it. It's kind of like when there's a real problem and someone comes along and says, oh, it'll be okay, don't worry about it. It's like, excuse me? Do you know what I'm talking about? When someone, oh, it's going to be fine. It's like, you don't understand the issue then. If you can just arbitrarily and so casually, oh, it's going to be fine, it's going to be fine. It's like they're missing the point. They don't understand. Caleb and Joshua knew the realities of the giants in the walled cities. And yet, they were still able to say, let us go up at once. I can face tomorrow. How can we face tomorrow? Doesn't one song say, because I know that he holds my hand. Yes, the future is uncertain. And yes, there's battles. And I don't know how I can make one more day like I am today. But I know that God is going to be in my tomorrow. And that is where faith can take hold and we can have courage to face one more day. Because sometimes as children of God, and listen, I'm not talking about sinners now. Okay? I'm talking about children of God. Get the context here. As children of God, sometimes we struggle to reconcile our faith with our humanity. And we struggle to reconcile our faith with our fears and our trust with our realities. Because, you know, children of God have real problems. We're real people here this morning, aren't we? Anybody here not have any problems? We're real people. We have real problems, and just because we serve the Lord does not mean we are exempt from financial problems and health problems and relationship problems and spiritual problems. But the difference is that we find courage through our faith in the Almighty God, that He is going to walk with us through the difficulties of life. So when we look at the land before us, be of good courage. And I considered this as I was actually, the Lord brought to me in a very personal way. I've had a lot of very heavy burdens of late, multifaceted burdens. And it could kind of was weighing me down. And I felt like the Lord asked me a question. He said, whose land is this? It's like it's God's. Whose land is it? God created you, and your tomorrow is God's. So then, Lord, help me to learn to have greater faith for the tomorrow, for the things that I cannot change, for the things that I have no power over, that I will trust in my Creator, that He's going to be faithful to me tomorrow, just like He was yesterday. When maybe you thought I can't take another step, but somehow we're still here this morning. Somehow we're all still here. How did we get here? Because of the faithfulness of God. And so then if I can understand God is going to see me through tomorrow, no matter what land is before us. There is a story of, and some of you may have heard of this young lady, Kara Tippetts. She passed away 10 years ago, and she got actually a very large following. She was a pastor's wife. She was 36 years old, I think. I may be a little off on the date. But she was a young woman, and she got a terminal illness. And so she began to blog about her fears and about her personal struggle. And it got to the point there were 10 to 20,000 people that were following her blog. And sent there was a couple of books. A publisher saw it, and they wrote a couple of books. And it is still up to date today. There, people are still looking to that. And it's because this young woman, in suffering and in pain and in fear, she found a place to put her trust in God. And she found courage there. Because, see, as children of God, because we are saved and love the Lord, does not mean that everything's going to go well in this life. So I'm really looking forward to the next one. But to get there, I'm going to have to be faithful today. If I'm going to die ready, I'm going to have to live ready. If I'm going to get to heaven, I'm going to be with the Lord where there's no tears and no suffering and no burdens and no pain. I'm going to have to learn today to put my trust in God, to have courage to face another day. This young woman had young children in the home. And the going through the emotional battle of what are my young children going to do when I die. So she passed away at age 38. So courage is not the absence of hardship this morning. It's the strength to walk through it. And our courage that we find when the scripture says, be of good courage, it is anchored in two things. And you might add to those two things. But what the Lord was talking to me about is that our courage is to be anchored in faith and in hope. Faith. Have not I commanded thee? This is what God told Joshua. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed. And you say, but God said, don't be afraid. Has anybody here never had fear? You realize, and I tell the young people this, and I'm going to keep saying it to all of us over and over and over. Take scriptures in context. God, the scripture, and the unanimity of scripture, all of it works together. The scripture does not teach us that we will not have fear. But we do not need to be controlled by it. That I am paralyzed because I'm afraid. That fear that torments. Perfect love casteth out fear because fear has torment. But that torment, that fear is different when I look at the land before me and I'm fearful that I don't know how I can do this. And yet, Lord, my trust is in you, so I'm going to keep going. And I'm going to go forward in that land. I'm going to face my tomorrow. You see, fear is an emotion. So we're going to have emotions in life. There's sorrow, there's fear, there's all kinds of emotions that we can experience, but we don't have to be controlled by it. Because, Lord, my faith is in you. So when he said, be of good courage, it doesn't mean that I say, oh, just let me, I'll quote this one. And I won't, there's not a book in the Bible from Mark Twain. But he said something that I thought was noteworthy. He said this, courage is resistance to fear. It's mastery of fear. It's not the absence of fear. So there's going to be trepidation. There's going to be questions. There's going to be uncertainty. And yes, sometimes there's going to be an emotion of fear when we look at the land that is before us. But we can overcome the emotions of life when we place our faith in God. Without faith, it is what? It is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That's found in the book of Hebrews 11. So to have faith in God is, it's believing in God. It's not in myself. It's Caleb and Joshua are not there saying, we can do this. We are learned men of war. No, it was the Lord told us to possess this land. And I just want to encourage you that God holds your tomorrow in His hand. And while it looks uncertain, and while some of you may want to pull the blanket over your head, I want to encourage you and remind you that your tomorrow is in God's hands. So when we say, be of good courage, anchor that courage in your faith in the Almighty God. And David said, what time I am afraid, what time I am feeling those emotions of fear, he said, I will trust in thee. That's not putting our head in the sand, but it's an issue of where our faith is. And the scripture in 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by what? Faith, and not by sight. What happens if we try to live by sight? We look at our tomorrow. Sometimes I don't even have to look tomorrow. We look at today. Say, this is too big. I don't know how I can make it through this day. The burdens are too great. I can't make it. I can't conquer that. We're not to live by sight. We're not to be controlled by our emotions, but we have them. But we want to walk by faith that, Lord, I believe in you. I believe you love me. I believe you care for me. The Lord, the scripture is full of promises that the Lord has given us. I will never what? Leave thee nor forsake thee. Do you believe that? Then the land that is before us, go with God. Go with God. In your suffering and in your pain and in your disappointments and in your grief, in your personal struggles, have faith in God. Because faith is not getting the answer that we want all the time. We turn and read in Hebrews chapter 11 of the wonderful, miraculous deliverances from God. The deliverances, the dead were raised, the cities were conquered, the giants were killed, the lame walked. And we read about all these wonderful things of faith. And yet, if you keep reading in the chapter towards the end, what do you discover? That there were some that died in the faith. There are some that did not have their dead raised. There were some lame that did not walk again. And yet, their faith was still in God, because I know He still loves me. So when we are suffering and I don't know how I can take another day, I want to be of good courage, to know that I am in God's hands and He's going to see me through. And then with that courage, see, that bridges the hope. It bridges the gap, rather, between faith and hope. Because when I can begin to exercise faith in God, it gives me courage. And then I can have hope. There's a scripture in the book of Romans, in the 5th verse. It said, not only so, but we glory in tribulation. Now, anybody here have tribulation? This one gives me a little pause now. He said, we glory in it. Wow. We're just trying to escape our tribulation. And yet Paul said, we glory in it. I remember being in a place, I said, Lord, and I put my hand up in the heated furnace. Father, let me stay. Precious gold refining, purge the dross away. Lord, if it takes me going through suffering for my soul to be saved, then Lord, help me stay in the fire. And sometimes your fire will help someone else out spiritually, and you don't even know it. So we have to give God room to work as He will. That is our faith this morning. That when I don't understand why God is not answering my prayer, when it seems like we pray and the deliverance doesn't come, that, Lord, I still believe in You. I still believe You love me. I still believe that You've got a better place prepared for me. Wait, that's called hope. That's what hope does, that we can look forward to a better tomorrow. And He said, we glory in tribulation. Why? Knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience... Anybody remember what comes next? Experience works hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. In other words, there are going to be giants. There's going to be challenges. But hope makes not ashamed. In other words, the Lord is not going to disappoint us. So saints, be of good courage. The Lord's got a plan for your life, even though we don't see it. And the things that seem so heavy on our hearts today, and the battles that you are facing, the land that is before you, God is going to be in your tomorrow. He loves you, and you can have hope that things are going to get better, because God is the one that is in control. You all remember, as we bring the service to a close this morning, the message, Corrie ten Boom, remember, hid the Jews in her house from the Nazis, and she was arrested with other family members, and they were sent to a concentration camp where fear and grief and death surrounded them. It was a horrible place to be. And this is what she said: there is no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still. I know sometimes, even as children of God, it feels like we are in dark places with grief, with loss, with suffering, and with the things, the hard things that life brings. Some of them are our doing, but a lot of them are not of our choosing. It's the hardships of life. And yet, there is no place that God's love will not reach this morning. And it is because of that that it gives me hope that things are going to be better further on. So as you look at the land before you, don't lose courage. Please don't run away. Please don't give up your experience with God, because it's going to be worse if you walk away from God. If you think it's tough serving the Lord, I won't say you ought to try it not serving Him. But it's worse, because the Lord is there to walk with you through the fire. He's there to walk with you through the waters, and He'll be there to hold your hand and see you through. I know sometimes the land is not easy, but saints, the Lord is going to be faithful. The Lord's going to be faithful to you. So be of good courage because of faith and hope. May God bless all of you. I want the congregation to know that we love you this morning. We want to be here to help carry the burdens that you carry. You have been there to carry our burdens, and we are here to carry one another's burdens. And sometimes I know that it seems too heavy. It's okay to call. It's okay to call on God's people. It's okay to say, I don't know how I can make it again. You know, oh, but you're supposed to be saved, and you're saying you don't know how you can make it. It's all right, because that's our humanity. And so then that's one of the reasons we come together like this, to encourage one another in the Lord, that God is still in control, God still loves us, and we can be here to pray for one another and support one another. And if my brother or sister seems weak, and I don't understand why they made the decision they did, and it seems like, oh no, we're all human and we need to be